It's cozy season, and nothing compares to wrapping yourself in a Minky Couture blanket. Luxuriously soft, perfectly warm, thoughtfully made. From movie nights to chilly mornings, Minky Couture turns everyday moments into pure comfort. Once you feel it, you'll understand why it's called the original best blanket ever. Visit MinkyCouture.com or a store near you and make this cozy season your softest one yet.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex.
I am Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Kick, of course, LinkedIn for all your jobbing needs. Or maybe you're listening to the podcast later wherever you get your audio podcasts. If so, if you would like ad-free versions of this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub, which is a good time to bring up. Usually here at the beginning of the month, we read a long list of names of folks who support us.
Great names we love and pronounce correctly.
And we're crushing it with. Thank yous. Anybody who pledges at the $5 and up level, we give them a little thank you at the beginning of the month. We had a discussion on our Comic Book Club Discord for Patreon members. We got some great feedback there. So we're going to try something a little different. We're going to put it at the end of the show instead of the beginning of the show. Just wanted to, if anybody's waiting to hear their name, I wanted them to let them know we are going to say it. We're just going to say it at the end of the show instead of the beginning. That's all. But Justin, you had a really good idea, actually, to give people a sense of it. Should we go down all of the names?
I was just going to read the names real quick at the top of the show to just give everyone a taste to stick around
of what to expect at the end of the show.
And that's when we'll really say them, you know?
All right, here we go. Clemens,
and we're
going to
start including some fake names. Oh, look at you just dropping right in.
Oh, wow.
Let's see if we can do it by heart.
Aaron C. Hollis.
Oh, it is Larson. Well, okay, all right, we're going to really do this at the end of the show because we've also got a great guest for you this evening. Among many, many, many other things, he is currently working on The Rocketeer, The Island from IDW, which is a wild book. If you haven't read it, we talked about it on the stack and loved it. Ladies and gentlemen, John Lehman. John.
Hey,
hello.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for coming. Thanks for coming on the show. As I mentioned, you are writing The Rocketeer, The Island. The first issue is out. Second issue is coming out April 22nd. This is based on a never-published outline by Dave Stevens. The art is by Jacob Edgar, and it is wild. I'm actually very curious what you want to say about it, because I read it being like, oh, I like The Rocketeer and I like John Lehman and I'm excited to read this. And I did not know the public domain parade that awaited me in this book. Was that, I'm jumping around spoilers because I know it's been out for a while, but I don't know how much you want to mention, but there are a number of public domain characters that show up there. Was that in Dave Stevens' outline? Is that something? No, you added that.
There was one public domain character, the big hairy one, and in his outline, he had a really strong, like, here's the setup, and then it got looser and looser. And, like, so I would say about the first half of issue one was very strongly Dave, like setting it all up, but then it got real loose. Thing is, Dave passed away in 2008. The whole premise is Cliff, Secord, Rocketeer goes looking for Amelia Earhart, ends up on an uncharted South Pacific island, and meets a giant ape that's like that giant ape that's from that famous movie, except... In the last few years, the novelization of that movie has gone public domain. So we can use it. We can use him carefully. You know, he's not the king. Well, he's Kong. I'm just going to, you know.
I feel like you've left no one stone unturned. I think we got it.
I figure if people can't figure it out by then, they need it spoon fed to it. So, but it's like, it was going to be like a King Kong ripoff, and then we got to actually use, well, Kong anyways. And, you know, I thought it was
Prince,
a lot of fun.
Prince Kong, right? He's not ascended to the throne.
Duke Kong.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, hey, IDW, as long as we're using this public domain character, wouldn't it be fun to throw in some other era appropriate public domain characters? And I'm like, who are you thinking? And, you know, I say Popeye and I say Tintin, and they said yes. And, you know, we're not calling it Rocketeer meets Popeye, Rocketeer meets Tintin. We're not advertising it on the covers like that. That gets a litigation crosshair on you probably in a way where using the public domain. And the other thing was when it came time for Jacob to draw them, you know, don't be on model, Jacob. Do your version of them because, you know, that also keeps the lawyers at bay.
Well, and let me say, I feel like the sort of legal, careful legal position there actually made for a great read because, like, not knowing going in, seeing Popeye, I was like, oh, that's funny. He looks sort of like, oh, that's Popeye.
Yeah,
and he's there as a sailor. He's not there like, I'm Popeye, spinach, punch. He's like, just doing my job, sailing.
Well, which is great. We couldn't use spinach legally because in the early cartoons, that was, there you know, go. That was pre-spinach. You know, Tintin's not
that's
paying
such rich crazy.
But yeah, a chance to write Tintin, like, that's just nuts. And so, you know, I leapt at it and like, it's kind of fun because like you said, you watch movies and sometimes trailers show you the whole damn thing. Like in this day and age, it's hard to go into something surprised and, you know, be surprised. So that was really cool.
Yeah. Funny. It's very, sorry, Alex. Yeah. It's very funny to have a legal meeting with a team of lawyers and be like, okay, you can use Popeye. No spinach. I don't want to see a single shred of leafy green flying across this page.
You know, I got my little winks. Popeye does something, you know, tough later in the book, and he's like, you know, I eat my veggies, like, you know, like my mama told me, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's close, but not quite there.
I did want to mention before I forget, every week on the show, we have a professional chef down in New Orleans named Brett Macris. He has a restaurant called Shift, which is great down there. And he usually creates a cocktail for us based on the guest or the property. And this week he created this, the Rocketeer, Amelia Earhart, and an island walk into a bar. It's dark rum, lime juice, maraschino liqueur, honey syrup, Angostura bitters, and absinthe. And yeah, it is a mix of different island type things to help the Rocketeer deal perhaps with all the characters that he's going to meet over the course.
Well, had I known this in advance, I would have been more festive.
Well, I'll pass it your way. I got to remember to do that more often. That is my bad. But let's, for a second, I know this isn't exactly your department, but you brought it up. Jacob Edgar's art. I know that Popeye was used recently in Savage Dragon, and we had Russ Burlingame, who does writing for our site sometimes, did an interview with him where Eric Larson was kind of grappling with the idea of, like, how do you depict Popeye in this world? So from your perspective, from the writing perspective, how do you make sure that Popeye fits in the world of the Rocketeer, Tintin fits in the world of the Rocketeer, etc.?
Well, I mean, really, I have an expedition crew. And it, you know, they played the right role. I could have had anyone be, you know, the ship's captain, but it was a little more fun to, you know, use the actual sailor. And then I need some, like, brainy, not necessarily teen genius, but some kind of, you know, brain to help out with the expedition and, you know, get the young, resourceful reporter for that. So really it was like, hey, I there's a place for these characters. I don't have to use them. But, you know, everyone kind of gets their heroic moment. And I just think it makes the whole thing more fun, especially if you go back to previous iterations of Rocketeer, where Dave was a little more like, oh, this is the Shadow, you know, wink, wink. This is, you know, this or that character, wink, wink. So, you know, we have precedent.
Mm. Nice. We do have a question here from Nat Towson in the comments. Are you locked into an early version of Tintin too?
Yes, I am only using Land of the Soviets. So again, no Great Snakes, no Captain Rackham. You know, none of the the two police officers. It's just, you know, Tintin and Snowy.
Mm.
Nice, very funny.
What about the Rocketeer? Given you have all these characters, how do you make sure that this story still serves his journey and the journey you want to send him on?
Well, it was more like, you know, he's the star of the show and he does the coolest thing that doesn't involve giant primates. And so it was easy to have him be the hero. The key was in a 22-page issue 4, you know, everyone has to kind of get a moment, even if it's just a little moment, to, like, you know, justify them all coming together and, you know, fighting the bad guy.
What are the central sort of, like, traits that you're like, I have to include this in a Rocketeer story, especially since he is very much outside of his normal world and around all these other characters?
Well, I mean, I don't mean this condescendingly, but there's a sitcom element to Rocketeer. Mm. I mean, if you look at the old, you know, the Dave Stevens stuff, it was very playfully sitcom in, like, an old kind of like an old fashioned storytelling way. You know, he's after the girl, but the girl likes the other guy, and, you know, if the other guy is willing to spend more money, you know, then Cliff, she'll turn up her nose. And you're also, God, I think this is the first time I've ever kind of been allowed to be sexy. And, like, not me personally. Yeah.
You mean on this podcast? I mean, because you have a beautiful backdrop.
Hey, yeah. If you would have made that drink for me.
Yeah.
Oh, we blew it.
But, I mean, like, you know, Betty, there's a cheesecake element to it. And there's, you know, kind of the, you know, the guy who turns into the wolf. You know, like, you know, right. his tongue out and he's all excited. And, you know, the hot girl bats her eyes. And, you know, I was playing with almost kind of old school stereotypes, and it was really fun.
Mm. Yeah. Cliff has some Joey from Friends energy to him, where he does sort of like, he messes up a lot. It's very rare in this type of, like, sort of icon hero to have him be such a fuck up, like, yeah. Constantly.
And he's also,
and it really,
like,
works.
He doesn't do much, you know, like, by 1938 standard, a guy with a rocket pack, and even today, if one of you guys had a rocket pack, we'd be like, whoa, you're awesome. But, you know, when you look at, like, you know, Silver Surfer or Superman, like the comic book heroes we're used to, a guy who can put on a rocket pack and not even fly precisely, you know, isn't that spectacular by current comic book thing. So you kind of have to, like, put yourself back 100 years ago or you know, 90 or whatever, and then, you know, remember that sense of wonder and the sort of the sense of wonder that came with you know, the old school serials of the day, you know, just, you know, heroes and dames.
I do have a slightly spoilery question about the issue that I was wondering about. So at one point, while we're talking about the Rocketeer's quote-unquote powers, there's somebody that falls overboard from the ship, and he dives in to get her. How does he do that with his rocket pack? How does he get
under
the
water? It's a comic book. Don't overthink it.
I actually hadn't
thought about, you know, I just thought he kind of, like, skim the water and reached in, right. But that's also not something I'm gonna, you know, if Jacob did it wrong, I'm not gonna ask for a correction. There's, you know, certain comic book pseudoscience you just don't think about too much, just mm-hmm. go with the ride.
Sure. This is jumping back to something we were talking about earlier, but since this is based on an outline from Dave Stevens, who did pass away some time ago, as a writer, how beholden do you feel to something like that? Do you feel like you need to honor the letter of the law when you're tackling that outline?
I tried as much as possible, recognizing that this guy is kind of, like, you know, passed into godhood status. Mm-hmm. And it was easy because, like I said, the setup was very, like, there are, in any time there was a line that, you know, Dave would offer, like, you know, oh, PB says this or Goose says this, I try to get it in there. That being said, by issue 3, like, I'm kind of on my own. So I just used Dave's stuff for, like, the setup. And mm-hmm. then by then I had, you know, freedom. And his sister runs the estate. And by then I also had her trust because I clearly was trying to be as accurate as possible. And approvals were easy. They were there was nothing to it.
Awesome. Nice. I did want to ask you about a couple of other projects, if you don't mind. One,
sure.
Chew is coming back in the pages of Comics the Magazine, right? Well, okay.
It was gonna be a couple one pagers. I got fucking tricked.
Oh.
by Rob Hillary and Adam Freeman. Like, I just wrote like a Hostess Pie kind of, you know, parody thing because I thought that went with you. And they're like, choose back, blah blah blah. And suddenly this has turned into a serialized story. So yes, I guess Chew is back, but it's kind of like I'm looking at the things I had plans. I'm like, I just had a couple lame jokes, and you guys have like turned it into something bigger, and now I got to step up, which is fine. Like we're on the, I think the fourth one, and it's turned out fun, and it's a very different exercise, like writing a one pager. Like you got to have enough story, and it's got to have a payoff and a cliffhanger. And just as like a writing exercise, it's been pretty cool.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So it's less, if I'm understanding you, it's less of like Chew is continuing than like a Chew one page gag strip is kind of what we're getting.
Well, it was a gag strip that has since developed into a story. Okay. So yeah, I think it's fair to say Chew is back, but the bigger thing is, for various reasons, and not just this thing, Rob Guillory and I are talking almost every day.
Good tease.
And, yeah, and
have you been tricked into doing something else? Is what you're saying?
I may have tricked him.
Ah, good.
but we're coming up October. Hard to believe, but October is the 10th anniversary of the ending of Chew.
Wow.
And Rob and I have each kind of gone our separate ways, and he did Farmhand, and I did. Oh, I've done a ton of stuff, but nothing sort of has hit in the same way as Chew. And the other thing is, I didn't want to like come out of the gate with another Chew, saying the guy who wrote CHU. but like, I like the humor was different. I wasn't ready to be funny in the same way, and now I am. And now Rob Guillory and I are talking almost every day. So take from that what you will.
Nice.
Love that.
And like now, I said, October is the 10th anniversary of the ending of Chew. So
when you say...
I'm putting together some pieces right now. I don't know if they're correct, but go ahead, Justin.
I was going to say, when you say you didn't want to be funny in that way, is that in... you just wanted some distance from that style of comedy writing to get to try something different?
Yeah,
Or were you burnt out on that?
All my stuff... Well, both. But all my stuff has an element of humor, but Chew was kind of like more silly and more surreal and almost...
Yeah.
I don't want to say family. I mean, it was kind of Family Guy in that it had like a lot of jump cuts and absurdities and stuff. And I wanted to do other things, so I wasn't always completely, you know, so I could be hired for more than Deadpool. but 10 years later, I am getting the itch, and just like financially speaking and just, you know, for a lot of other reasons, it would be good to get the Chew band back together and do something Chew-like.
I think so.
We're very big
fans of Chew.
Yes,
yeah, that would be amazing.
When you said 10 years since it ended, I was like, man, I remember when that started, we covered it, and we were already doing this podcast for a while.
Yeah, man, I look at pictures of like me and the first couple cons, and you know, Rob's got his hair, and like we're all gray since then. Which kids will do that to you?
Yeah, right.
This ties in nicely to what we're talking about. This is another question for the comments. Could you ask John about the challenge of writing gags on a regular basis versus the writing humor in a narrative?
I think you always have to serve the character. Like, you know, you can do these throwaway gags, but they have to be, it can't be at the expense of who your character is. Otherwise, you lose the sort of the empathy the reader has. So, you know, never forget never go for a cheap gag at the expense of your character.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, you just finished up a run on Titans, which is bit more serious than the gag-heavy stuff we're talking about. How does that work out your muscles as a writer?
Well, you know, I was a former editor, so I kind of know what editors go through, especially, you know, big two, you know, doing like a superhero universe. And I was also, you know, I was raised on Wolfman Perez. I mean, that was my high school years. So getting a getting the old guy to write the classic team, you know, I couldn't be happier about it. And and at the end, you know, I got 17 issues. That's a good run these days. I would have preferred 38 issues or 58 mm-hmm. issues, but I can't complain. And then they started bringing in all these young characters, and I don't think they've officially announced what the new lineup is, but it's not the classic lineup. Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm. I don't really give a shit about Jonathan Kent or Cheshire or all these, like, you know, these young kids. You know, I sound like a get off my lawn guy, but, like, you know, working on the classic characters was a lot of fun. And, like, this last thing I did was part of KO, which was fun. I mean, it's a pain in the ass in that you have to, like, have all the chess pieces, you know, perfectly arranged, and the editor's like, well, you can't use this, you can't do this, this has to tie into this. But it's also pretty cool when it comes together. It's also really cool when you get it like an omnibus with your stuff in there. But it was fun to be a part of, working with Scott Snyder and Josh Williamson.
Do you feel like you have more things that you want to say about those characters, or do you feel like you've kind of worked it out at this point?
Well, I had some more stories. I had a Starfire on Tamarin story with her brother and her sister, and that was what I was teeing up next, and that had to get shut down because they basically said, hey, we're doing this whatever this publishing initiative is on in March. They're like, we're doing this, you know, to like six books. Because I tried to get one more issue because of the nature of KO, the Titans were splitting apart and evacuating Earth. And it's like, wait, my team split up. Can I have one more issue to get the team back together? And they're like, no, you can't. This is tied into a bigger thing. And it's like, all right, well, that sucks. How do I make it work? And I made it work by starting off with a flashback, so the team is together. And then at the end, for lack of a better word, Raven has like a psychic Zoom call, and so they all get together for like a last hug. So it was a challenge, but, you know, it worked out as good as it could. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because 10 years or so ago, I wrote a Cyclops series. Same thing happened. Cyclops was de-aged, and he was a star jammer on his dad's pirate ship, and it was
right,
a father and son comic I inherited from Rucka. And then the last issues were part of Black Vortex, and I sit down to write the last issue of my father-son comic, write this scene, they're like, oh, shit, we forgot to tell you, Corsair is encased in ice this entire issue. So it's the exact same thing as writing my team book without my team. I had to write a father-son comic without the father. And I found a way to, you know, make it work with, you know, flashbacks and stuff like that. But, like, that's the challenge as a, you know, a writer for the big two is you either got to make the shit work or you kick up a stink and you get fired. Well, I was getting fired anyways. But at least I was going out on good terms.
That's the most comic book anecdote of all time of, like, what I had to write him for the DH Cyclops, but I figured it out. But then the ice block came in. Like, no other medium, industry, anything would ever have anything like that.
But it was funny because, like, when I was doing this Titans, and it's like, this is the exact same damn thing as Cyclops. I did it once. I'll do it again. Yeah. But overall, the run was fun. I got to play with Deathstroke, I got to play with Terra, you know, I got to use, you know, classic characters, and then a lot of, like, you know, I got Doom Patrol in there, and just, you know, just had a lot of fun, you know, with characters I loved.
I'm starting to get a sense of why you might want to go back to Chew, a property that has absolutely no interruptions and you completely control yourself.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was doing was The Scorched, which was the Spawn team book, which Todd is still very involved, at least in the core books. So, you know, Todd would get in and, you know, he'd be another chef, and you can't really say anything to Todd. You know, he's the boss. He literally knows better than you. But, you know, I am ready to play God for a while. And the funny thing was, like, it was real nice. I wrote 23 issues of Scorched, I think, maybe 27, and then 17 of Titan. So, like, nice meaty runs, you know, a regular paycheck. But when those things went away, all I had was Rocketeer. Mm. And so I've been blast. It's like all the creative stuff that was like kind of like percolating in the back of my head has just been like vomiting out. And a new book, I am one scene away from finishing the first arc.
Wow.
Cool.
And the artist, who you might be familiar with, has only done 3 penciled pages for the pitch, which is approved.
Wow.
So, yeah, we are in great shape.
Oh, that's awesome.
Funny, funny book. If when I tell you the concept, you will laugh.
Oh,
but I'm
when
not telling you the
will you tell us
sure.
that?
Yes.
Is that
when
in like three to four minutes?
About telling us about
John, I love to laugh. I would love
three to 4 drinks.
3 to 4 business days?
Really regretting this cocktail, miss. Yeah. What a miss.
It is funny to hear you talk about all of this and you're like, okay, I kind of like for the moment put the big two behind me. I'm going to do some original stuff. Also, I'm doing this Rocketeer book that has very specific public domain characters all over it from different levels of continuity.
Well, I mean, in my career, I've written some really crazy crossovers like Judge Dredd versus Aliens versus Predator, Army of Darkness versus Marvel Zombies, Red Sonja versus Mars Attacks. Like, I think this is my craziest crossover yet.
Yeah. It's great. I know we mentioned at this point, we spoiled that Tintin and Popeye are in it. We know that Kong, at the very least, he shows up on the cover of issue 3. Is there more there? Are we going to expect
more characters? I've only got 4 issues. So,
okay.
You know, but by issue four was a real juggling because you got 22 pages and everyone has to have their moment and it has to, you know, resolve satisfactorily, and I think we did it, but you know, holy shit, there was no room for anybody else.
Wow. Yeah. It's interesting you talking about the sort of guardrails writing into the more like creative, like you get to run wild. If you run wild now for with this idea that you were just telling us about and teasing, are you going to want another guardrails project, or is it more like I'm free, I'm running, I'm loose?
You know, there's a little of both because it's a different type of thinking and it's a different type of responsibility. When it's not creator owned and I don't own it, like someone's like, oh, you know, when's the new issue of Rocketeer come out? I'm like, well, I think it's the 18th, but I'm not sure. Where if it's my book, I have a financial stake to literally know everything. And if it's, you know, if it's creator owned, like, there were Titans issues. I did a show this weekend, and someone handed me a cover. I'm like, that's not mine. And I'm like, yeah, it is. I look at it, it's like, holy shit, I've never even seen this cover.
Oh, so hilarious.
There's a bit of a distance, you know, when you're doing Big Two stuff versus, you know, your own Big Two or Work for Hire versus, you know, playing God versus playing with toys.
Right.
Just to start wrapping up here a little bit, obviously we've talked about a lot of projects at this point. Is there anything we've missed? Anything else you would like to plug?
Yeah, there's another thing that's unannounced. And so, yeah, it's the only thing I have right now is Rocketeer, which you say I'm writing it. I say I've written it.
Right, yeah.
So I've got 2 creator things that I'm working on, and then, you know, the Chew stuff. I'm just going to let that, like, I said that until I finish the first arc, I'm just going to enjoy it, work on this first arc, have it done for the artist, and then I'll slow down. And we even have a Chew crossover built in, issues 6 and 7, right about the time the trade comes out, right about the time we want numbers for the second arc, we're going to squeeze in there and say, hey, you know, look, this new book's, crossing over with Chew.
Awesome.
Oh, that's smart.
Which is shit you got to think about when you are doing your own book and you have a financial stake. How do I keep it alive at issue 6? How do I, DC doesn't, you know, they've got a built-in audience for at least, you know, 30 or so issues on Titans.
It's interesting, but that's something you wouldn't, like, you've learned that over the years. Like,
yeah,
this is your guidebook, your internal guidebook is telling you that you have to do that.
There's been a lot of mistakes along the way that's gotten me to know what I know now, which still isn't enough.
Yeah, right.
Well, cool. John, we're loving everything. Really looking forward to more Chew, as well as whatever the secret project is. And the Rocketeer is great. So thank you so much for coming on. A pleasure chatting.
I appreciate all your great work.
And let me tease one other thing. There may be even more Chew coming down the pike than you think. And I would say watch the internet in the next month.
Watch the internet. That's a lot, John. It's a lot to look at.
Pleasantly surprised.
All right.
Wow.
Love these teases, John. Thank you so much. You have a lovely evening.
Yeah. Come back anytime. Thanks for having me. Next time,
we'll come back. Podcast. We'll come over. Well, yeah, it seems like you have a lovely place.
You look like you're on vacation, and we'll it looks right amazing.
My patio, and it's
oh man, that is very nice.
This is where I work when it's not 115 degrees, which it is 6 months out of the year in Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix.
All right,
yes.
Well, enjoy it. Enjoy the weather. Thank you so much for chatting, John.
All right, guys. Thanks for everything. Care. Have a good
Later.
One.
Later.
All right, just to plug again, were you about to jump into something, Justin?
I was just going to say, I was supposed to be in Phoenix right now for a shoot, and I would have been coming to you from, like, a car or my hotel in Phoenix, and that's wild that
he's
there.
Doing a Wilson over his
yeah, mind. Yeah, he could have just been like, hey.
See you at the bar, John, is what I would say.
Anyway, check out Rocketeer, The Island, that is coming out from IDW. Issue 2 is coming out April 22nd. And then the third issue is coming out. I should have written down the date, but it's coming out in May. And that's got Kong on the cover. Check all of that stuff out. There you go.
It's cozy season, and nothing compares to wrapping yourself in a Minky Couture blanket. Luxuriously soft, perfectly warm, thoughtfully made. From movie nights to chilly mornings, Minky Couture turns everyday moments into pure comfort. Once you feel it, you'll understand why it's called the original best blanket ever. Visit MinkyCouture.com or a store near you and make this cozy season your softest one yet.
All right, folks, we are going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions. There we go. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments and we'll get to it. It'll be about absolutely anything, whatever your heart desires.
Look into your heart, folks.
Look into your heart, please. What are you guys drinking tonight while we're waiting for those questions?
Yeah, JT Sids, you got a little fancy glass over there.
As my solo parenting journey continues, I've been
how
really
many days
leaning into
you got left, man. How you hold up?
It's more like when you have to count on the wall in a prison situation.
Yeah,
but,
just one line.
Because it's 3 months and I'm 1 week and 2 days in.
Oh man!
So that's nine.
How many times at this point have you gotten? Have your kids shivved you yet?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we have a real take down the big fish mentality, and I'm currently on the bottom of the totem pole, so I'm the one doing the shivving at this household.
Oh,
anyway,
wow.
It's a tequila Negroni, essentially
delicious. Oh, Pete, what about you? What are you drinking?
Little Aguanitas daytime. You know what I mean? It's daytime somewhere.
But Pete, it's nighttime,
and not in Phoenix.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't have the Lagunitas nighttime because it puts him right to sleep. It's like
yeah, exactly.
Like, gives him nightmares.
Pete, that's a bottle of NyQuil you're drinking. I don't know what you think.
Oh boy.
All right, this is a question here from Schoikler, classic Schoikler Stumper. What are some of your favorite coincidences in comics?
Interesting question. Because, I mean, technically there are no, in story, I would argue there are no coincidences. Maybe, I guess, different publishing things that happen. I mean, the one that comes to mind, and this is maybe a case of just a rip-off situation, but I think the timeline doesn't quite match up for one ripping off the other. But Deathstroke and Deadpool being almost identical characters in a lot of ways.
How dare you?
I mean, they look alike, they kill, they have death
alike.
Or dead. One of them talks to you, and one of them.
I probably have this wrong because I feel like they've talked about it a million times, keep going back and forth. But I feel like Pavian DeSueza was like, "Yeah, of course we're ripping off Deathstroke," and Rob Liefeld was like, "No, it is an entirely original character."
Yeah,
but I don't know.
It's just crazy to do it so carbon copy, but then now it's diverged so hard. With the wild popularity of Deadpool makes for the coincidence feels more real as it continues to divert from each other.
Yeah, I guess this is definitely making me think more about like deep impact Armageddon type situations where they come out in the same summer. But like Ultimate Universe and Absolute Universe coming out at the same time is weird.
Yes.
It is very weird that those were both running at the same time, because like Absolute Universe obviously is following up on Marvel's Ultimate Universe, the original one. That's something DC has tried to do several times in a row, and this is the first time it's really took and it's really worked. But Marvel rebooting their Ultimate Universe at the same time, and the being like very similar in their core concepts in certain ways, is strange.
Yeah, and honestly, another example where, oh, it felt like very synergized when it started, and then now it feels very different, especially as the Ultimate Universe is coming to an end and a little bit whiffing on its final wrap-up, and the Absolute Universe...
A lot of it.
The Absolute Universe feels like it's only getting more powerful, to the point where I feel like it's breaking the... I would be curious to hear their initial plan, if this was going to be a... you know, 2-year thing or whatever, mm-hmm. 18 months, because there's no way this is ending.
Yeah, ever.
Like, don't we get the last issue of KO tomorrow, essentially, mm-hmm. right? Like, were they going to originally end it then?
I don't know. I always kind of thought they were going to go like 2 years for it, but now I think probably 3 years or more. And Scott Snyder has talked about that. He's talked about like, I don't remember how many issues he had planned out, but he had sort of roughly planned out like, okay, I'm going to do this year, yeah, 2 year run, 2 years, something like that. And now I think he's up to like 54 issues or something like that in his plan. So,
I mean, of course, some of those exciting stuff in comics. The other coincidence we should highlight is myself and Pete LePage both walking into the pit with Midtown Comics bags, which is what led to this group coming together.
That is great. I was thinking of the coincidence of when we were in Lock and Key and I got split in two in a double-sided Black Axe while I was going through a divorce. I felt like that was an interesting coincidence.
Yo, that's the real... It's funny. I'm like goofing on answers. You're like, you want to hear some real shit, kids? Sit down. I got split in half.
And at the same time, when rocks fell on you, Justin, that's when love fell on you for the first time.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. I got married underneath that rock.
As you should.
This is from Stray Bullet. Audience question for Justin. How many times have you seen Mad Men full series?
This is very funny. Stray and I were texting last night. He was like, hey, I was just looking at my cable. Have you ever seen this channel that shows Mad Men like all the time? I was like, I watch it on loop. I watch it every night. And so then we were talking about how great for like, truly, we were texting for like an hour. I have watched Mad Men. I've seen every episode dozens and dozens of times. I love it. It's the best.
Let me ask you something. When you're texting Stray Bullies, is it tough because then he has to stop texting Philip Kennedy Johnson to then reply to you? Or is that like...
No, he's in the thread.
Oh,
he's like, guys, stop texting me. I'm working. Trying to write. We're like, don't you love Mad Men? but yes, I've seen every episode of that show top to bottom. I could tell you, I could close my eyes and see the scenes.
Man, that's like me and Beverly Hills 90210 in college.
Wow.
This guy.
That's a fun reveal.
No, I used to play it after class, and I would just sit down while I was doing my work and like... They played 3 hours in a row on its syndication, and I was like, oh boy, I got to stop watching this.
When I was in college, we would watch, we would come home after a long day of class, and we would watch The Nanny, Power Rangers, The Mystic Knights of Tir-na-Nog.
Wow.
And that's when we would start drinking for the night.
Oh, wow. Boy. All right, this is from Nat. If they are really killing the Ultimate Universe, what do you think Hickman and Justin's favorite Dennis Camp will do next for Marvel? Where is he going to set up camp next, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are we camping?
Well, you know, I've given this some thought because I'm worried about the moving camp. Camp's changing. And I honestly think this would probably be announced by now if it was happening directly, but... I feel like there might be an opening at Avengers here pretty soon.
My feeling on that is they're probably priming Chip Zdarsky to do it, given that he's doing Armageddon and he's rebuilding the Avengers into something new. So maybe that's going to be him when they boot it back up in the fall or whenever it happens. But yeah, I think moving Dennis Kemp from the Ultimates to the Avengers makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Could be either. I mean, it depends on, like, Chip's someone who is doing always doing a lot. I wonder how much he's going to do. It feels like Jed McKay stepping back, he's just been doing so much for so long that there's going to be a lot of gap at Marvel coming up.
This is from Sarah Schottmuller over on Facebook. Hey, what is the best cat or cat-based character in comics? Great question.
Who, Pete, this has got to really light you up. Look, he pulled back so hard. He's so excited.
You can see puffing his fluff. His fluff is puffing.
Yeah. Fluff is puffing.
It's tough.
For those of you that don't know, Pete's an absolute cat freak. This guy loves cats.
And we said puff the fluff. What that is that's when you blow in a cat's butthole, I believe.
What?
Is that correct, Pete?
No. For medical reasons, though.
For medical reasons, to help the cat. You blow
it up. You inflate the cat like a balloon. You do that once a week with your cat, right, Pete?
Well, it's tough because, you know,
I'm sorry. I just have a follow-up question. If you suck in, is that like helium? Like if you suck in the cat's
voice? It definitely changes your voice.
I mean, part of me wants to say panthro. You know what I mean?
But, Peter, are you crying right now? What's
I'm getting emotional. I'm getting choked up thinking about it. You know, younger me would probably say the evil puma that Skeletor rides is also a great cat, you know?
These are, you're mostly describing action figures from the late 80s right now.
Still I gone. Throw out my top of the mind.
What are you going to say? Heathcliff?
No, that's another cartoon. What? You're just mentioning cartoons. Huh. Catman. I love Catman. I think this is mostly based on Gail Simone doing Secret Six, and that's a great book, and he is such a good character in there, but he's a lot of fun.
I'm trying to think of a good cat, like, because there's always, of course, there's Catwoman.
I like Tigra.
Okay, yes. Tigra. I say Tigra. But great cat human living.
Pete, any non-cartoons?
Everything I'm coming up with is cartoons. I was thinking about the Claw had a fantastic cat. Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yep, another cartoon. Okay, why don't we move on? Stanley says, what can comics do better than novels and vice versa?
It's interesting. We did an interview last night with Tom King that just dropped on the feed, which is excellent. And he was sort of mentioning this a little bit, like, you need to do something else besides your main thing as a writer. He was talking about how he's shifting a bit from so much comics work into doing a lot of like film and TV work, but he needs to keep doing the comics work. And he would mention someone else like, I write novels so that I don't have to be drowning in Hollywood bullshit my entire life. So this feels like, I think it's hard to be like one is better than the other. It's just they're so different and they're different muscles.
I think for me, why comics are better is because it's not as much of a commitment, and you know, you kind of get sucked into this very specific world that is drawn for you. And what's great about a novel is you get to get your imagination is the director and imagines all this amazing things. So that it's awesome to get lost in a novel. But comics are great because they kind of describe this world and you get to kind of go and jump in it. And it's not as long or as committed and, you know, usually a little.
I mean, it's TVs versus movies. Like, comics are TV and novels are movies. Like, it's a complete idea, a novel, or a series of complete ideas that you read from beginning to end and imagine on your own. Comics are a little bit less imagination work for you, but it is always resetting, always giving you sort of a new take on something that will then reset to the sort of stable version of it.
Yeah.
And Schoikler, how dare you, sir?
Oh, Schoikler said, Pete reads novels? I am shocked. And I know for a fact you read novels, Pete.
Yeah, how dare you, sir?
What novels are you reading, Pete? Put it in his face.
Geez. What was the last one that I read? I don't know, but I'm constantly reading Douglas Adams on a kind of loop.
Just you just pick it up. Favorite.
Yeah.
What's your favorite one? Yes.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is my favorite.
The Ridge.
Yeah, The Ridge. But, I mean, you know, The Restaurant at the End of the Universe is also amazing. So Long, Thanks for All the Fish is great, you know.
That's the one that I read more than any other when I was a kid, and I don't know why. I haven't read them in years, but that was the one that I was like, oh, this is the one.
That's the one for you?
Which one was it that, like, it was the instruction on how to fly, where you have to sort of trip over something?
Yeah, yeah.
Trip over something, and then you sort of miss the Earth?
Yeah, that's the first one, yeah.
That's the original?
Yeah, Hitchhiker's Guide, because you're talking about, it's one of the first things they kind of deal with is him.
I think about that all the time.
It's such a hilarious way to word it and describe it. Yeah, it melted my young mind, that's for sure.
Definitely. We should start a Douglas Adams book club. Let's do that.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Just cover those books, those like five books
no
or whatever.
More comics. No more comics. And no more audience questions. We are done with that for the moment. Instead, we're going to move over to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
I thought that was cool. All right. Yeah, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online. Because if you had $25, you'd want to go to a comic book shop.
Easy Reader already said pick me.
Oh, the Easy Reader is into it. I mean, we're talking about novels. Why wouldn't we pick Easy Reader? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Easy Reader novels.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Today's trivia is about the comic Lands Unknown, The Skinless Man, and a small nod to the legend T.K. Carter, R.I.P., loved you as Iceman and Ski Patrol. All right, here we go. Question number one. This so far very enjoyable comic, Lands Unknown, The Skinless Man, is best described as blank. Is it A, horror fantasy? B, no, I would say you're a bit wiser. C, nor a bit wiser.
Nice stuff. This is a comic, Parts Unknown, about the skinless man.
Lands Unknown.
Yeah, Lands Unknown.
Sorry, Lands Unknown.
Yeah.
A.
A is correct, yes.
All right.
Here we go. Question number
off
two.
Off to a good start.
Yeah. This creatively written and fantastically drawn comic is done by whom? Is it A, Ben Stenbeck? B, I agree, Mo Fat? Or C, Donald Moffat?
What do you think? Anybody have a strong guess on that?
Oh, we got an A.
A is correct.
A.
Really nice.
Hey, look, Easy Reader was laughing. That was nice. There we go. Here we go. Laugh one. Last one, I should say. What is the more cooler character in this comic? Is it A, the talking rabbit, B, as your father and someone who cares about you and who you date, this dude is the worst, C, Dick Warlock?
Wait, that's a real person's name?
Yeah.
Wow. Man, that's
awesome. A good name.
Yeah, until Mr. Dick Warlock shows up and wants to date your daughter, you know what I mean?
To be referred to as Mr. Warlock?
Who is the cooler character? Was that the question asked, Nat? Yes, this is trivia. That's how trivia works.
That's what trivia is.
Easy Reader says A or the Headless Chicken.
Ooh, that's a good shout out there, Easy Reader. But it is A.
Hey.
The Talking Rabbit.
There we go. Hoo! Congratulations, Easy Reader. You are getting a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. You can shoot us an email at comicbookclublive@gmail.com and we'll get that off to you. Pete, what secret movie were you referencing?
Of course, we're talking about the 1982 classic, The Thing.
Mm. Oh. Of course we are. Absolutely.
Mr. Warlock was in that?
That's right.
Yeah. Wow. He's my favorite part. I love Mr. Warlock. I also love that new comics are coming out tomorrow. What are you guys looking forward to that's coming out that we haven't read yet, but is coming out tomorrow?
Like, oh, man. Hold on a second. I just had a small panic attack as I brought up the list of names. And I was like, fuck, we haven't even done that yet. I'm excited about Godzilla number 8. If you can't tell, Tim Seals and Godzilla, hells to the yeah, I'm there. Also, Thundar the Barbarian number 2.
Wait, did you say hell? Sorry, hells to the M?
Hells to the yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, great.
And then Thundar the Barbarian number 2, Shut Up, I'm Taking a Nostalgia Bath. And this is like a cartoon in comic form, and I love it. And then lastly, but not leastly, Justin, Amazing Spider-Man number 23. Oh, my God, what the fuck is happening right now?
You know what I'm saying? What year is it that Pete is talking of Amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Interesting. You must have enjoyed the previous issues and not the upcoming issue, right?
I'm not sure what's going to happen in the upcoming issue, but
but you're hopefully excited to read it?
I'm you just, excited.
You love this new
because I've seen the cover. We've all seen the cover.
Yeah, we've all seen the cover. I kiss it right before I go to bed. I'm looking forward to Beneath the Trees of Normandy Seas, Rite of Spring number 6, which is closing out this arc. A second arc where some wild, absolutely wild things happened at the end of the last issue, and leaving me breathlessly wondering where this series is going to go, because it could go anywhere. Yes, Pete?
Yeah, I have a follow-up question on that. When you say you like reading Beneath the Trees, is it because you're like, oh man, I don't have enough nightmares, and I'd like to add more to my life? Is that why you enjoy reading it?
Who couldn't use one more nightmare? You know what I mean? Like, I'm
full. I don't need any more. You know what I mean?
Similarly, I'm looking forward to The Nice House by the Sea number 8, which the last issue of that had a huge revelation that I'm like, where is this? This series that has so many characters in it that I'm like, this is so hard to keep in my brain, yet still is such a propulsive story. I'm so excited to see what the action that is kicking off at the end of the last issue into this issue.
A bunch of stuff I'm looking forward to. I'm pretty excited, not to mention too many DC comics, but DCKO, very curious to see how that ties up. Also, Batman number 7, we had Matt Fraction on the live show a couple of weeks back, and he talked about this issue where Batman meets the Joker, including a 4-page fold-out.
Great call.
Going in the Joker's mind, which I'm very excited to see. Very excited to see Sleep number 8. This has been one of my favorite series from Image Comics. Really messed up. A horror book, beautifully cartoonally drawn. Very curious to see how they wrap this up in the final issue. And I knew there was one more that I wanted to shout out, but I'll leave it. I'll give a shout out to Touched by a Demon. Number 2 is coming out from Dark Horse Comics. This is from Kristen Goodsnuck. First issue was very funny, very dark, about demons opening up a self-help bureau. I don't know, business, I guess, on Earth, because they want to try to help people become angels again. And it goes horribly, horribly wrong in the first issue. Excited to see what happens in the second.
We do have an important question that I think we need to cover before we go anywhere else from that, Towson. Is Nostalgia Bath a liquid or more of a bath bomb, Pete?
Huh. This is funny because I have I will tell you what I've been picturing, but go ahead.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Do you want me to tell you first and then you can?
That'd be nice.
Sure.
Yeah. I have also an image that I'm going to
say. Yes, the image is basically amber sludge, is what I've been picturing. Like you're dipping yourself in sort of like a liquid version of the amber from Jurassic Park, and you're just
like sepia toned, like old timey. Wow.
But it's like it's thick and it's viscous.
Wow, that's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
When you said amber sludge, I thought you were talking about the ooze from Ghostbusters 2.
No, that's pink.
That's pink. The here's what I'm. Great point. You're that colorblind. That's crazy. How do you like comics? Famously color, full color. When I hear Nostalgia Bath, I picture Pete sliding into a clawfoot tub full of sharp plastic action figures. And man, does it sound painful. Painful.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Mr. Bubbles, so I thought of I also had the clawfoot tub, but just filled with a lot of bubbles.
You heard it here first, folks. Pete, a big fan of Mr. Bubbles. Put that in your bubble pipe and smoke it, because this guy loves bubs.
Well, here's something that we should put in our bubble pipes and smoke is all of the wonderful people who support us at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Again, anybody at the $5 and up level once a month, we give a little thank you to them. And as always, we do it right here at the end of the show. Kicking it off with Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam DeRose.
Adam Hinson.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Alex loves wedge salads. Shouts!
Figured out that they could change their names. Andrew Tillman.
Ariel Grande.
Astraveris.
That's not what that said. Beercat PhD.
Bach Van Der Eden.
Whoops, these are getting harder for Pete for some reason. Bradley Hansen.
Caleb Yoder.
Cameron Schrader.
Carrie Matthews.
Chad Brecky.
Chad Post.
Jen Smale.
Chris Oakes.
Christina Rensfield.
Chris Terlizzi.
Clemens Luer.
Corey Shasher.
The Mysterious Corey.
The Mysterious-er Corey Smoker.
Dakota Gade.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Cabral.
Daniel Fuentes.
Rounding out the Dan block, it's Danny Heck.
Darren Two Potts.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Mainhart.
Doug Sadoway.
Doug W.
Dylan LJ.
Eduardo Martinez.
Emmett M.
Enrique Chumbas.
Gary Meyer.
Gerard de Villa.
The pronunciation every time. Ian Rainey.
JG.
Jake Fry.
James Connolly.
Jared Sloan.
Jaron Townsend.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Whaley.
Joe Benton.
Joey Esposito.
John Henderson.
Jonathan Manuel.
Jonathan Jong.
Josh.
Josh Wright.
Justin and Pete's Jedi Honeymoon. Shouts. Hey, everybody learning about name change.
Kelby.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Lance Kaminsky.
Juana Thomas.
Leah Hunt.
Luke Asink.
Mad Max Pliskin.
Mark Dispensa.
Mark Carrillo.
Matt Tice.
Matthew DePalma.
Matthew Schofield.
Matthew Taylor.
Max Baker.
Michael McAuliffe.
Michael Tillman.
Nathan Hall.
Nelson Kelso Martinez.
Nick G.
Nick Grayson.
Official CBC chef Brett Macris.
Stray Bullies. Amya Soul Art.
In the mix, we got Oren Dix.
Oitis Larson.
Pedro A. Rangel.
Every time I get to say this name, I'm psyched. Provocative Ambulance.
Ramsey.
Rev Mikey.
Robert Pettinato.
My mom, Roxanne Tyler.
You be careful with that name. No, my mother.
Russ Burlingame.
Sam Lim.
Sarah Schadbuehler.
Saunter.
Scary Stuff Podcast.
Scott Carpenter.
Scott England.
Stanley.
Steve Cook.
Steve Hunsberg.
Super Sweet Shirt Company.
Taylor Bryan.
The Big Flood.
The 12 Banch.
Tom.
Troy Molyneux.
The French pronunciation is perfect. Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
Will Diaz.
William Leach.
Zachary Bachman.
Zachary M. Kopke.
Zika's Viral Comics. Rounding it out.
And again, if you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have levels starting at $2 a month. You get access to our very active, very fun Comic Book Club Discord, as well as our back catalog from 2011 all the way through 2025 with thousands of podcasts, many of which are otherwise no longer online, as well as other bonuses. What, Justin?
So many people tuning in to hear us just to the names and now signing off. They just love the names. It's crazy.
Wow. Maybe we should cut the rest of the podcast.
Just names. Guys, send us names you like. We'll say them. Huge news from the greater good, 42. Tracker's back.
Back on track! Oh, boy. Yeah, if you subscribe at $5 and up, you'll get our Week Geek podcast, which is mostly about Tracker.
So and exactly the content you want to hear as a fan of Tracker.
And folks, that is it for this week's show. Thank you to our guest John Layman for coming on to talk about Rocketeer, the Island from IDW. Issue 1 is on sale now. Issue 2 is coming out April 22nd. Definitely pick it up. It is a ton of fun. Next week on the show, Speaking of Amazing Spider-Man, Joe Kelly is going to be here.
Yes!
For Pete to fawn over him and probably mention how much he likes I Kill Giants. I don't know. I'm just kind of speculating.
Hey, that's a good idea.
No spoilers.
See.
Oh.
Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast, Monday through Friday, every day of the week. Patreon.com/comicbookclub, as I mentioned, to support the show and all the shows we do. You can subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky. Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, take care of yourself out there. We need you.
It is Larson.
Let me see where.
And Riley Trahan.
Penny
Cord.
It's cozy season, and nothing compares to wrapping yourself in a Minky Couture blanket. Luxuriously soft, perfectly warm, thoughtfully made. From movie nights to chilly mornings, Minky Couture turns everyday moments into pure comfort. Once you feel it, you'll understand why it's called the original best blanket ever. Visit MinkyCouture.com or a store near you and make this cozy season your softest one yet.